Welcome to the Omfit podcast.
Welcome everybody to this podcast with Omfit. I'm John Orchard, Omfit CEO. Today we're talking with His Excellency Erlan Idrisov, Ambassador of the Court of St. James for the Republic of Kazakhstan. And with him is James Martin, Chief Investment Officer of the Astana International Financial Center. Kazakhstan is an interesting and important economy in an interesting and important geography. And so we're delighted to explore the financial and economic developments in the country today. So welcome, Ambassador. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone.
Thank you for visiting us. Good morning, James. I'll kick straight off, Ambassador, with some questions about the recent COVID crisis and to what extent the Kazakhstani economy has been impacted by COVID-19 and whether it has impacted inward investment and investment opportunities in your country.
Thank you. And once again, good morning to everyone. Good morning to the listeners and the viewers. COVID is a global disaster. It came out of the blue. No one was prepared, although big guys like Bill Gates were giving us early warnings, right, that we have to be prepared for global pandemics. But, you know, life is life. Kazakhstan is not living, of course, on the moon. We are part of a global economy. We are a well-integrated and growingly integrated part of the global economy. We are major producers of hydrocarbons. We are major producers of coal. We are major producers of, we are number one producer supply of uranium in the world. We are major players in the non-ferrous markets globally. On the other hand, I'll tell you that we are within top six global exporters of grain. We were well integrated into the global economy. Therefore, the global economic downturn, of course, affected us seriously. And of course, the drop in the commodities prices, particularly oil prices, of course, affected us. And since the shrinkage of global economy, the investment, global investment appetites drew down. Of course, that affected us. So we had to react. And we were in a better situation than some other countries because economically we were quite well. Our GDP was growing well. Our inflation, our unemployment rates were quite low. So we were, and we had our safety cushions like oil fund, like our sovereign wealth fund. But looking out, we took similar measures to support our economy to get out of the COVID crisis. Of course, social burden was the major headache for the government. But all in all, we developed a comprehensive plan how to stand against these challenges. Huge money was allocated through a structured program. I can tell you, for a population of 18 million people, we have allocated 14 plus billion US dollars of assistance package. This assistance was, of course, with the social basket, but importantly, businesses were supported, particularly small and medium businesses in Kazakhstan were supported, and that was a guarantee that economy will sustain through these difficult times. Of course, like everyone else in the world, our economy shrank. We went minus, but we had, as I said, the cushion of previous years. Our record growth rates were exceeding we're reaching 13+% but 2019 was the most difficult year. That was the start of the lockdowns and the march of global march of pandemic. 2020 showed some growth, and we expect 2021 this year to go by almost 4% of 3.7. This is the estimate. We also hear that the Economic Intelligence Unit gave us over 4.2% growth next year. So the outlook is pretty good. As I said, we have cushions. We have the oil fund, which has more than I think now close. We usually have close to $100 billion. This is for the population of 18 million people. Our foreign currency reserves are almost $40 billion. Sovereign wealth fund, Samarup Kazanai, which is the holder of major assets in Kazakhstan, exceeds $60 billion. So with these assets and resources, we have an easy access to international money. Our government has a clear vision of how to tackle these challenges. Legislation is market friendly, and our private sector is strong enough to withstand these shocks, and the government understands the challenges for the private sector, and we try to continue to understand the concerns of the investors. Therefore, we hope that with all these elements, investors will come by. We also, of course, within the global trend of greening, Kazakhstan's economy is very much dependent on extractive sector. Our policy is not to develop extractive sector. Our priority is not to develop extractive sector, but to make every step to make sure that we get away from the strong dependence on these sectors. Therefore, diversification is the top. We have a massive plan of reducing the role of the state in the economy. Until 2021, we have a massive plan of privatization. We hope to raise close to $13 billion through privatization. Many more successful IPOs will be here in London. The breakthrough, by the way, in 2020 was the Kazakh IPO. Kaspi KZ was a major startup, a successful online trading platform. A massive success, and I think it was the second largest listing in London Stock Exchange last year. So it was a major asset for the London Stock Exchange. So we hope to see more stories of this, but greening is another important topic. Therefore, we are inventing and implementing new instruments to attract green investments. Astana Financial Center, and James is there, he will talk more about that. But I always tell here to my friend that Astana Financial Center is the germ. It's a quiet revolution in the post-Soviet space. It's a very smart appearance of global English business standards, English common law, English court, English arbitration system in the heart of Eurasia, in an absolutely remote, previously unknown part of the world. Therefore, this is a magnet for investments. It has all available instruments which are available in New York, in Shanghai, in London, in Singapore, everywhere else. Therefore, we hope that this magnet will continue to work. And Astana Financial Center is also making the focus on those things. It's strong in fintech. It is strong in green finance instruments, green financing. So I think with this, we'll be absolutely able to come over the shocks of the pandemic and come out with larger strength, stronger and more resilient.
Well, that's a very useful tour of the horizon, lots for us to explore. Thank you. We'll look at the investment opportunities in a little bit more detail with James in just a second. Just to finish up on the COVID impact. So the government undertook a number of fiscal measures to support employment and to support companies which were impacted. When would you expect Kazakhstan to be back at the GDP level we did have before the crisis, roughly?
Well, the economic intelligence units give us 4.2 next year. So I think that will be the point when we'll be getting up to those. Of course, it's very difficult to imagine those crazy growth rates over 10%. This was kind of a miracle in itself. But yes, we hope to have a steady growth rates of 5%, 6%. That is the plan. And I think everything is there to support us. Our geography is also quite helpful. We tell to all investors that do not look at Kazakhstan as an end market, end user market, This is a platform from where to go and do businesses. China is China. It's the number one economy today. We are next door with well-connected infrastructure to China. Belt and Road and everything. We are, we are called the buckle of the Belt and Road.
Yeah.
Next is a huge Indian market. We hope that the new changes in Afghanistan will bring new opportunities. Of course, it's very challenging. But if everything is done smartly, we hope that infrastructure, particularly land infrastructure, will connect us with the huge market of India. That's a huge magnet also for investors. We hope that a huge market of Russia will be back. There are, of course, political difficulties. We are very unhappy about those political difficulties, but we hope that reason will prevail, economic interests will prevail. Trade is the major peacemaker. That was historically true, and it is historically proven. Therefore, Kazakhstan is there to serve as the hub to facilitate trade between all those huge global markets.
Thank you, Ambassador. James, Ambassador Idrisov has set out a portrait of a country in an interesting location with interesting opportunities across many sectors. What have you seen on the investment front over the recent period? What's been impacted by COVID one way or the other, and what trends are you seeing going forward?
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for this opportunity. I mean, I think it's a particularly interesting time, especially as sort of some of the effects that we had from COVID are sort of being alleviated now. I mean, as the ambassador mentioned, as with all the other global economies, I mean, we've been affected greatly by the travel restrictions, obviously, and these had several direct and indirect effects. I mean, investors have had a very keen interest in visiting Kazakhstan and yet have been restricted from doing so with the ease of travel and entry. And this naturally has led to a slow uptake in the business. But at the same time, we've had the compound effect of the price and the oil drop, which is still a significant contributor to the Kazakh GDP. But as rightfully mentioned, our main focus is diversification away from this. On top of that, the travel restrictions led to the delay in some of the commencement of some of the larger projects, where we have expatriates who have not been able to travel to the country. But again, the upside is that all of this is now improving with the increase of the number of flights. We've just removed the restrictions with regards to a couple of levels of protocol we'd initiated. And there's a lot of countries which are now opening up again direct flights. Now, when we talk about the COVID itself, I would say there were many, many positives. We as the government were able to focus on the critical areas of healthcare and stabilization. It allowed us, the government, I would say, the time to be able to create some actual analysis and focus on reform, which accentuated and accelerated the efforts of diversification. And that's very, very key. We wanted to diversify, and it enabled us to look at reforms that were necessary, both from an economic and from a social perspective, very, very key. When it comes to the financial center, then, I think we sort of transformed a little and put on pause what we were trying to do before and looked sort of more from a think tank perspective in a more advisory role to the government, looking to see rather than about stabilization, but stimulus of the economy. It was very important to look at, for instance, the recovery of distressed debts. What is the role of a financial center? How can we work with other financial centers, such as in London? And this, I think, has been very, very key. When it comes to the capital markets, then, we were able to start focusing on how can we, for instance, migrate from frontier to emerging markets with regards to the FTSE and MSCI indices. And then the last one, I suppose, was the digitalization efforts. We managed to do a lot of testing around infrastructure. There was asset testing done just before and during the start of COVID. And obviously, as with many countries, you're able to operate remotely, showing the resilience of businesses. The final point, I suppose, which was very much put into practice, was the fact that the AIFC courts and the International Arbitration Center moved to fully conducting business remotely. There was a full instigation of arbitration. There were decisions made. There was immediate access to the 24/7 to the full Queen Council judges that were based, obviously based wherever they were, and mostly in the UK during COVID. And the full case hearings went ahead. So I think these are sort of the benefits that we kind of saw coming out of COVID. So it did present us with a lot of chance for reflection and reform.
James, the ambassador mentioned the interesting geography of Kazakhstan, a lot of useful proximate countries. Which have been the ones that have invested most in Kazakhstan recently? What trends are you seeing there? Which areas in particular on a sectoral basis are flourishing?
Well, I mean, if you look at it from a pure financial numbers, first of all, I would say that we've shown an increase in the FDI in 2020 compared to around 17 transition economies, and certainly compared to 34 different countries, according to the World Bank reports, which were issued not that long ago. So we're probably up to around total FDI in the transition economies. In total, it was around 24 billion, with Kazakhstan accounting for just under 4 billion. So we were the largest recipient of FDI in the region, just behind Russia, where inflows grew around 35%. But what I would say when it comes to which countries have been traditionally investing in, I think they really haven't changed much. I would say historically, extraction industries, they've attracted the majority, obviously, and investment. And country-wise, you've got the Netherlands, United States, Switzerland, France, China, and Russia. They've been some of the top countries that have invested. When it comes to what we've seen recently, I would say Middle East, Japan, Turkey, Middle East in particular, and countries who are trying to ensure food security. Because food security, as you understand, will obviously ride out throughout these issues. And I think as a lot of us suffered under the COVID, you suddenly realize that rather than having a global logistical process, people were looking much closer to home. And I think that's where it plays into your very key point on our geopolitical but geographical location. If you understand that China is a huge importer of food, we have the Middle East that is looking to enable food security. We have India, Pakistan, we have Russia. All of these countries are looking to ensure around that, which comes back to your question around sectors. Very much we're looking at increasing the agriculture. We have been historically a huge producer of agriculture. We are blessed with all the assets when it comes to soil. And we have a lot of potential. We're focusing on that. We are focusing on a renewable, sustainable economy, absolutely, but also in tourism, because, you know, we have a lot of untapped process there. And I think these are the key areas that people are looking for. We have to be very realistic, though. Extraction is still key. We're seeing the commodity prices being forced up. So people are still interested in what is happening with regards to extraction. And as with the ESG aspects, we can't go from one to zero. So it's a question of compound growth rather than just switching one sector off and one sector on.
Ambassador, you were talking earlier about the part that English law plays in doing business in Kazakhstan. The World Bank ranks your country as 25th easiest place to do business in the world out of 150 index countries, which is a pretty impressive performance for a former Soviet republic. Tell us a little bit more about what is contributing to this relative ease of doing business and what may further improve it.
Well, thank you very much. I would like to stress that from day one of our independence, we clearly understood that we entered a new ocean, a new economic reality. We joined the global economy. Therefore, we understood very clearly that we have to, first of all, learn these new rules and learn how to play and implement these rules. Therefore, our top priority was to bring those new experiences on our ground. And our founding president, who is a visionary leader, one of his great features is his capacity and ability to build together a strong team. So he brought a strong team of technocrats, and we focused on delivering new economic principles in our reality. The structure was very simple. First of all, is laws and legislation on which real economy is based. So we focused on improving, bringing new legislation, market-friendly legislation, and we were improving it on a regular basis. Therefore, we understand the call of our Western foreign investors to keep our legislation stable. It is not stable, but in positive terms. It is getting better and better year on year. When we learn something new, we bring in and we have a very live dialogue with investor community. Therefore, we improve our legislation with their contribution, with their support. So first is legislation. Second, how you implement this legislation, that is a team, the government. So bureaucracy. So that's where we also pay the special attention through training, through enforcing a new culture of work and new responsibility for doing public good. So that was another element. Third is growing and nurturing the private sector. That was something new because there was no private sector in Kazakhstan at all. No understanding how the market economy runs at all. Therefore, we had to start from scratch building this strength within Kazakhstan. And I think we succeeded in that. The private sector is now quite able on its foot. And we hope that it will continue to grow with the prudent support on the part of the state without major over-interference in the economic affairs. And the fourth important element, of course, was our foreign partnerships. Of course, we grossly needed our foreign investments in our early days, as we need them today. But we are major attractor of foreign direct investments. If you take the whole former Soviet bloc, including Eastern Central Europe, Kazakhstan is the biggest attractor of foreign FDIs per capita. Definitely in our part of the world, in Central Asia, Eurasia, more than 70% of FDIs come to Kazakhstan. So partnership with foreign investment community was a crucial important element for that. And we established special dialogues where you will see in what country you will see a regular dialogue with top leaders of the country face to face. We have established earlier on the Foreign Direct Investment Council under the leadership of the first founding president. Key ministers were sitting annually gathering with the CEOs from top companies coming to Kazakhstan, and they had face-to-face discussion. And we asked them to be open with us. Tell us what problems you face here so that we improve that. We started the same dialogue with our internal, local, domestic investors. So these elements were brought together. And, of course, international financial institutions are our strong partners. I worked with the bank. They are strongly present, both the World Bank, IMF, and other institutions are present in Kazakhstan. So we worked with them, and all these elements put together, and this is how we learned the job of jumping over the line, long line, in this 150 list. And we are happy to do that, but we are not very happy that very recently the World Bank discontinued this practice. There were some criticisms of this doing business. We hope that it comes back after it is adjusted and improved and mistakes are improved. But irrelevant of that, Kazakhstan will continue to focus on improving its investment climate. This is very important. We hear the new trends, and the new trends are green, clean, and high-end tech, AI and all these things, digital things. These are the focuses of our government today. And as I said, we have instruments to try to implement them. And I'm a strong believer in AIFC because it's a kind of an island of global business, which you planted in the heart of the post-Soviet economy. Can you imagine that? So that's a huge experiment. And I hope that this experiment will bear great, great, great fruits for everyone.
It sounds like you have quite a business-minded state apparatus in Kazakhstan. Perhaps we can explore that a little bit more with James. James, tell us about the investing environment with respect to tax regulation, customs and so forth. We heard how those were modified by the government to support the economy during COVID. But what else is going on? What do investors need to know?
Well, I think from our perspective, to sort of add on to what the ambassador has been saying, it's about fitting in an execution engine within the great policy making government mindset, because it has to go hand in hand. Given the size of the country and the economy and the potential, not only for Kazakhstan, but the wider Eurasian Union, I think it's important that people come to business to execute on real business, and they feel familiar in the familiar surroundings. So when it comes to the whole structure, including the likes of tax, it's always about the fact that we see ourselves in AIFC as a de-risking ecosystem. And it's much, and we have English and Welsh law principles absolutely as a foundation stone, but that only enables the sort of compliance, KYC, AML aspects to be answered. And then the business units will come along and say, it's great, I'm allowed to play in the country. What have you got for me to play with? So we are, like I say, blessed with all the assets. We have all the minerals from the periodic table apart from two. We have natural resources that we hope to execute into real green energy. But the question is, how do we entice the international players? And the likes of tax regimes are one thing. But what I have to say is, if we take a step back, it's really about understanding the wants and needs of the international investor. All this great work, which His Excellency has talked about, creates that foundation. Then in listening to what the investor needs is the most important. And then if you take the likes of, from our perspective in AFC, we have an international, the Astana Financial Services Authority. We can immediately listen and reflect immediate changes if the wants and needs are there at an appropriate manner. The same with the legal course, but then also working with the Kazakh government outside of the financial center to see how we can create that investment climate. But it has to be proactive, but with sustainable growth in place. We are, for instance, probably now around the third largest crypto mining country in the world. And that is very key. We obviously have the electricity. We have certain cold times of the year, which help the servers and reduce the energy needs. We have China, which is also, looking at not only cryptocurrencies, but digital assets. So these are very, very key. When it comes with regards to the tax, then, we have the financial center, which is by constitutional law within its own environment. And then leading on to the green, for instance, people are looking to greenify, to greenwash all the investments or even Islamic finance. And there are certain tax breaks around that. So if you were, for instance, to raise capital through the financial center, you would perhaps do a public green bond or even a private placement bond where, for instance, you would have the coupon would be tax free. And then it's also about what sort of, certainty. I think certainty and finality, not only from a legal perspective, but from a business practice perspective, that you want to know how you will be treated. That if you get a ruling, it will be treated not only within the financial center, not only within Kazakhstan, but globally in the same way, which is why we work very closely with the international organizations with regards to setting standards, best business practice, etc. So yes, tax is very, very key, but it's also understanding. And I think the final thing I would say is we're trying to learn from our own past history. So we've had in place, for instance, in the oil and gas sector, called PSA, which are standard agreements put in place to protect the rights, the terms and conditions of those investing in oil and gas. However, the investors were saying, we like the opportunities. We like what you've done in the oil and gas, but for our non-oil and gas extraction sectors, how can we get the same finality, the same risk mitigation? And so we've established what we're calling the strategic investment agreements. And the idea with that is that we sit down for strategic sectors. It might not only be a financial term, it might also be with regards to human capital development, job creation, diversification sectors. And we sit down with strategic investors and we would say, what terms and conditions would you need to see in place in order to do the business, to develop the country, to develop the sectors? And so we, for instance, signed one in agriculture, was the first two that we signed, with the Tyson Foods Agriculture from the United States. We also signed with regards to Valmont, who were doing irrigation for agriculture. But we're also talking to a lot of other people. We're talking to some UK companies, for instance. I think it's very important that we talk about how we can improve the business between the United Kingdom and Kazakhstan. But overall, I see ourselves as not being a financial services center purely, but a center for raising finance. So I think that's very key. And then finally, with regards to, I think I'd like to mention the potential also that we're talking with the United Kingdom. We have, for instance, very strong trade relations, absolutely. And we see a very, very key interest in fund management. Fund management, technology, and yes, agriculture. I think these are very, very key for us. So, I mean, I think these are important. And then there's also a potential with regards to the financing and tax relief of leasing and insurance services. So we've been working ongoing with the Aviation Administration of Kazakhstan around introducing international standard flight safety regulation within the AFC, which will provide not only an alternative jurisdiction for the aircraft registration, but also significant opportunities for aviation financing, including insurance, leasing, and ancillary services. And we're having strong support from the large insurance and leasing companies in the UK, helping us build a framework that will deliver these regulation and safety standards in, again, a recognizable ecosystem. So I think it's exciting times, but again, it's all about listening to what the investors need to see and want to see in order to feel that they are treated fairly and safely in a new environment.
Thanks, James. In addition to being a conduit to invest in the Kazakh economy, it's clear that you're developing Astana into a capital center in its own right. Would that be fair to summarize it that way?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we have obviously our main role by constitutional law is to assist the government in attracting capital for investment in Kazakhstan. However, it is very much a Central Asian play. It's for people who can establish themselves in the AFC, but also do business in a much wider area and feel that they have that sort of closeness with regards geographically, but an international standard environment.
Understood. Finishing up now, Your Excellency, you've mentioned a couple of times renewable energy, and I wanted to explore that a little bit. There's a major wind resource on the flat Kazakh steppe, perhaps the world's largest. You have existing hydrocarbon businesses, of course, that your country is very well known for. What are the prospects for renewable energy as well in Kazakhstan?
Well, thank you, John. By geography, Kazakhstan is a very flat widespread space. Actually, you cannot find a flatter space on Earth. And as we discussed earlier about the movements of people, migrations, that facilitated the ancient movements of people through a great Kazakh steppe. But not only people were moving around that geography in all directions, but also we have abundance of sun, we have abundance of winds. We are famous for our winds. I do not want to invite you to come to Astana when it's too windy in winter. So our blizzards are infamously known to some foreigners, but it's only a few days, rare occasions, but we have quite a massive potential in those resources. The amount of sunny days in Kazakhstan is absolutely fantastic. Wind is also everywhere in every corner of Kazakhstan. We have the Caspian Sea, and the altitudes there change, the pressure change. Therefore, Caspian Basin has fantastic wind potential. North Kazakhstan also, which connects with Siberia, also has fantastic wind potential. In the south, we are part of the Himalayas range, Alps, Himalayas range of mountains in the south. So therefore, you have also the drop of pressures. Wind is also there, and it's a famous. We are connected with China with the link of with the chain of mountains. It's a famous Jungar Gates. Actually, the first wind farm was established in Jungar Gates. In those days, it was very expensive. The cost of having the wind generation, electricity generation was quite expensive, but over the years, you know that technology brought everything down. And now, lately, Kazakhstan's pace of bringing in solar and wind is enormous. Actually, you see the pace is quite fantastic. We explore new opportunities. Therefore, we are very strong part. We are strongly supportive of this government's move towards the goals of Paris Agreement. And of course, COP26 is on everyone's lips. Our president Tokayev was was the only from the post-Soviet space with real commitments, accepted commitments at the ambitious summit last December, which was done by Boris Johnson, Prime Minister Boris Johnson, Italian government and UN. So we came with very strong commitments of trying to achieve the carbon neutrality by 2060. Another big commitment you will see is to plant 2 billion trees to bring back the lungs of earth, as we call them. So greening is quite a big prospect in Kazakhstan, and government is now turning everyone to green mindset at every level. Very difficult to change, but we have challenges. We come from the very brown economy. I can tell you frankly, we are very brown today because our electricity generation depends on coal. We are massive producers of oil and hydrocarbons. We are massive producers of all of those metals, both steel and non-ferrous. And the production of those metals is very dirty because old technologies are used. We have to not only change the technology, but most importantly, change the mindset of people. Those who run the factories, for those who work in the factories, and those who live around. You talk about smart houses, smart homes, new approaches to energy saving, etc., etc. So these are all major culture shifts, and this is being introduced slowly and slowly, but persistently in Kazakhstan, and this is our goal. And I hope that this will prevail, and we come again with a big delegation. Our president comes to the COP26 with new commitments, and we hope that we'll partner with the rest of the world, and we have special appetite to partner with UK in developing this green new future for Kazakhstan.
Thank you, Ambassador. You've been very open, clear and realistic about the balance of interests in the Kazakh economy. James, briefly to finish up, notwithstanding the hydrocarbon business in Kazakhstan, tell us a little bit about ESG investments and the landscape for those in the Astana Financial Center.
Well, I mean, it's very key for us in, from a Kazakhstan perspective. It's a priority goals for us regarding sustainability and ESG, and they remain so. Within the financial center, we've established the Green Finance Center. We've been working closely with the UK government. We have not only working on corporate governance, but also on ESG as well. And we still have upcoming discussions on this. In fact, we have the Intergovernmental Commission meeting coming up very soon in November.
Thank you very much, James. Your Excellency, Ambassador Idrisov, thank you very much for talking to us today. Kazakhstan sounds like an interesting opportunity in many ways, and I hope we get to talk some more and follow your progress very closely as the economy continues to develop. As I say, you're an interesting country in an interesting location, and we'll follow your progress with great interest. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I want to use this opportunity to invite the viewers and listeners to the events we have on the 28th and 29th of October here. Particularly one big one about which James was talking, together with LSC and CTUK, we are doing a major economic discussion with the focus on green, digital, high tech, and ONFIF is most welcome to participate. And I would like to invite all listeners to keep an eye on Kazakhstan. That's a growing magnet. That's a growing gem in that part of the world, and I hope that more and more opportunities will present themselves. Thank you very much.
Ambassador, thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you for listening to the ONFIF podcast.